I'm excited to be able to talk to you guys tonight. And man, the Lord put a word on my heart that I believe is for us. We're going to be talking about simply cultivating growth and just what that means. Cultivating growth in our own lives. Cultivating growth within our ministry, this church. Because how many of us want to see this church or this location grow in people? I mean, that should be every hand in here because, I mean, when we grow in people, that means that we're impacting more lives, that we're touching more lives, that we're doing more things for the sake of the gospel so that people can encounter a real God, they can encounter real love, they can encounter just real authenticity. And man, I don't know about you, but that's something that I would love to cultivate within our church, but it also, it starts ultimately, the cultivation of growth starts within each and every one of us individually. Right? Because we say it every Sunday, if you're not connected, then you're not growing. Jesus says, remain in me as I remain in the Father, right? So we have to constantly be connected to the source to receive the growth that we need. And in that growth, we'll see others' lives grow as well. And when others' lives grow, then the church naturally grows. But we're going to get to all that. Before I get started, I would love to go ahead and pray. So let's just do that. Father, we thank you for your goodness. God, we do thank you, Lord, that, man, as we connect ourselves to you, that you cause us to grow, that you cause us to have supernatural eyes to see and hearts open, and Father, things like that that we need in our lives, Father, to be planted and to grow the most. And so, Father, I just thank you that this word would penetrate deep into the hearts and the minds of everyone that is here today so that we can look more and more like you each and every day. And we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this is something very important. Many of you have probably seen this before. If you've went through Next Steps, if you've done anything like that in our Next Step Central, then this might look familiar. But this is true, and I fully believe this for every person that is here, for anyone who attends this service, for anyone who attends this church, even if it's their very first time, for anyone that decides in their heart, you know, I want Victory Life to be my church. I believe that this is true for every person, and that is this, that every person is a 10 in some area, okay? Each and every one of you in here tonight is good at something. You are the best at something. There's somebody in here that's better than me at something. And I'm okay with that. But every person is a 10 in some area. But you have to believe it. So if we look in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. Here's what this says. And I love this because when I spoke to you guys a couple months or last month, was it, what's this month, November? October was last month, right? So we covered a little bit of Romans. But right before this, I love it because Paul says, I have grace to speak to you about pride. Because Paul obviously knows and realizes that amongst Christians and in church, there's just some pride. Because Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Instead, with your God-given measure of faith, assess your worth appropriately. And then after that, this is what he says. He says, in the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function. And so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. So if you're a 10 at something, but you do nothing, then there's no contribution to anybody else. You're only serving yourself. Is that too much? So each of us, everybody in this room, we are vitally joined to one another. We each contribute to one another. Every member is a minister. All right, sure. I wasn't sure what my next scripture was. Here's what Romans 12 says. I thought it was going to be 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely ours. So if you look in 2 Corinthians, I don't think I have it in here, but I think it may be 1 Corinthians that I have in here. But if you look in 2 Corinthians, Paul says that we all are ambassadors of Christ, which means we are all ministers of the gospel. And Paul, just like Zach said a minute ago, he didn't receive anything. He didn't charge people to preach the gospel because his reward was not what you could give him. His reward was a fruit that he saw produced from the gospel that he preached. That was his reward. So every member, each and every one of you, are a minister in some way, somehow. Here we are, right here, sorry. So, if God has given you the grace gift of prophecy, I love this right here. It says, you must activate your gift by using the proportion of faith you have to prophesy. You know, sometimes it gets to me when some people are like, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting to be used by God. Right? Come on. Think about it. But when it clearly scripture says, you must activate. So if there's a gift on the side of you, stop waiting on God to move and you move yourself and allow God to move through you. Activate your gift. It's up to you. So if you don't activate your gift, and if you're a tenant at something, and if you're a minister, if every member is a minister, then imagine what you're withholding from the body of Christ when you don't activate your gift because you decide to sit on it. Lives. People's lives will be impacted just by you. Seed sown. Just by you. If your grace gift is serving, then thrive in serving others well. If you have the grace gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. You notice it doesn't say wait until pastor calls you to preach from the pulpit. It says if your gift is teaching, then teach. What are you waiting for? Why do you have to have a pulpit to teach? Why do you have to have a pulpit to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ? Our lives are not our own. Our lives should be the ministries of the gospel themselves, the way that you live and talk and walk and do and breathe. So if you think you're a teacher, then activate your gift and start teaching. I'm pretty sure there's somebody in the church that needs your teaching. I mean, if you have the grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. Stop waiting until you're encouraged. If you want encouragement, man, go make somebody's day. It'll make you happy, I guarantee it. If you have the grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. Do it without anybody knowing you're doing it. And watch God bless you and bless the person that you're blessing. Can you switch that for me, AJ? Hey. If you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. I love this. You know, I heard, we went to a communications class. And his name, I don't know if you've ever heard of Paul Scanlon. Is that his name, Paul Scanlon? This dude's from the UK. Amazing man. He's got a lot of wisdom. But I love what he said about leadership. Because a lot of people think about leadership and a lot of people want to be in leadership. But yet, servanthood is not for them. So if being a servant is beneath you, then leadership would obviously be beyond you. Because you can't bolt servanthood to leadership. You have to first be a servant before you become a leader. Why? Because Jesus, what were the disciples arguing about in the Gospels? Right? Jesus, who is the greatest among us all? He says, whoever wants to be the greatest must be a servant of all. So if you believe you have a gift of leadership, I would take a good look at your life and see if you're a servant. And if you have the gift of showing your compassion, then flourish your cheerful display of compassion. Come on, Paul is encouraging the church, do these things. Nobody has to tell you to do them. Do it. Stop waiting and do it. 1 Corinthians 9:19. The Apostle Paul says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them." There's a lot I'm skipping here, so we're going to continue on in verse 22. He says this, "To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people." That's what's important here. "Become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings." So Paul is simply saying that he's a servant to all. Paul is saying that he's becoming all things to all men. He says, "For the weak, I become weak." And in between all that, he talks about, "For those who are of the law, I'm of the law. Those who are not of the law, then I am not of the law." So he's coming down to people's... So what Paul is doing is exactly what he's preaching. He's not thinking of himself more highly than he ought. What he's doing is he's coming down to people's levels with the lowly people, with it, whatever they're in, whatever transition in life they're going through. Paul is meeting them at their level, and he's becoming all things to them so that he could share the gospel and so that he could share in the blessings that come with it, to see people prosper because of the word of God and the transformation that takes part in their life through the gospel. So do you kind of see how this relates to every member as a minister? It's because this church, there are people in this church that need what's on the inside of you. There are people that walk through these doors every Wednesday. There are people that walk through these doors two services on Sundays who need what you have. Like, everybody should be agreeing on that one. Because there's something on the inside of you that somebody needs. But yet, how do we know that if we don't activate the God-given gifts that are on the inside of us? I mean, that right there, that's growth. That's cultivating growth. Romans 12:9. "Let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask." That's hypocrisy. You're acting. You're doing something with no intentions of ever becoming. He says, let your heart always be to love. He's talking about not just saying that you love people, but that you actually love people. See, in these passages that I'm about to read, the Apostle Paul he's talking about your transformed life, the new life that we're supposed to live. Loving one another. Nobody owes you a thing. So if you have your mindset on things that people owe me, then get that out of your head. Nobody owes you a thing, really, but to only love you. And the only thing that we owe to anyone is to love them. This is what he's talking about. Despise evil and embrace everything that's good and virtuous. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Now, when you think about your family, sometimes it's hard to do. Right? We just had Thanksgiving. Come on. You know. Those Thanksgiving clapbacks, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say any of those. So try to outdo yourself. Who in here is just trying to outdo people? Like, I think that church is the only appropriate place to actually try to outdo somebody. With the right motive, sorry. With the right heart attitude. Y'all left the room for a second. try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let him fill you with excitement as you serve. So you see, what a lot of times what happens is that we try to psych ourselves up about serving. We try to just like do it on our own instead of, as Scripture says, let the Father and then the Holy Spirit excite you, fill you with excitement as you serve him. I mean, can I get a witness? Listen, yes, a pastor is about to say this. Sometimes it's not always the most fun to come here and serve. I mean, I'm just going to be transparent, right? Think about it. You might have had a bad day. Somebody got in your grill. Somebody cut you off on the way to church. Right? So the last thing that you want to do is come to church and deal with more people. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with excitement as we serve God. Because we have to realize that we're not doing it ourselves. We're not here to serve ourselves. We're here to serve the Father, and through that we serve others. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. I don't know why that, my bad. Take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people and respond by helping them. And eagerly welcome people as guests into your home. Come on. You want to know what that is? Look, I'll show you right here. Look at this. Oh my gosh. That's grow teams in life groups. Let's go back and look at this. Take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people and respond by helping them. What does that mean? That means sometimes it may be difficult to change dirty diapers. Sometimes it may be difficult to deal with somebody else's children. But with you putting up with that, at least a parent gets an opportunity to have a real encounter with the Father. So we're cultivating growth, right? Every member is a minister and everybody is a tenant something. So we should respond by helping people, by meeting the needs of our people, by meeting the needs of our church. And eagerly welcome people as guests into your home. Man, that's grow teams and life groups. That's what we do here. We do life together. You open up your home to people. You open up your life to people. That's what that is. I love that. It's right there in Scripture. We got it from Scripture. Romans 12:14. Oh, this one's good. Speak blessings, not cursing, over those who reject and persecute you. Amen. Like, did you know that happens in the church? That happens in the church. People reject and persecute you, and we all go to church. But Scripture says to bless them. Don't curse them. That's what Jesus said. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless your enemies. They're showing us a new way to live. They're showing us a new people to become. Celebrate with those who celebrate and weep with those who grieve. You know, there's nothing worse than somebody who's a Debbie Downer and just rains on your parade. Right? Something good happens and you're like, yeah! And then somebody just comes up to you and is like, yeah, it's all right, whatever. Scripture says to celebrate with those who celebrate.
to weep with those who grieve. There's nothing worse than to try to cheer somebody up when they're hurting. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, like, you know, to speak good things to them. That's not what I'm saying, but there's a way sometimes that people, they just don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've sincerely been hurting, but somebody is just, they just keep pushing. I don't know if I'm explaining that well, but does that make sense? Sometimes, man, we just have to weep with those who grieve. That's just what you have to do as a church, as the body of Christ, as becoming all things to all men is. I mean, you don't want to empower someone to be a victim. You don't ever want to do that. But there may be a moment where you grieve, where you weep with somebody. A moment. And then you start speaking life into them and you encourage them and you love them through the finished work of the gospel. You start declaring who they really are and not telling people how their circumstances and situations define who they are. That's not what we're supposed to do. Verse 16, live happily together in a spirit of harmony. Oh, that would be so easy if it wasn't for people. Sorry. Yeah, we just had Thanksgiving, right? And be as mindful of another's worth as you are your own. That preaches right there. Be as mindful of your worth as you are your own. Well, if you don't see your worth, if you don't know your worth, then how do you treat others accordingly to their worth? But even if you're a person that thinks that you're better than what you really are and that you can't, you know, hang out with the lowly, I wish I would have put the other translations up here. But what this means right here is sometimes you may be wearing a suit and tie. And what this means is you go shake the hand of the guy who has dirt under his fingernails. And who looks like he just picked up clothes off the floor. Maybe smells bad. Thank you. Right? We should know our worth. We're all childs. We're all children of God. We're all princes, princesses, whatever you want to say. Sounds weird saying that. Don't live with a lofty mindset, thinking you are too important to serve others. But be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Those who are lowly. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. Man. Those people. You know what's difficult about preaching? It's almost like you think you know it all, but you don't. You know what I mean? Like, that's a tough one. That leaves me with this. Every task is important. Be willing to do the menial task. Be willing, church, to do the small things. Because every task is important. Everything that you do, driving a golf cart, saying hello to somebody at the front door, opening a door. Opening a door seems like the least amount of task. Seriously, all you gotta do is open it and stand there and you don't have to shut it. I would, at least. Every task is important. Whoever drives the golf carts, you're the first person that people see most of the time if you give them a ride. So your task is important because you're the first person that will make them feel valued, welcomed, loved, and important. As soon as people walk through these doors, our hosts, our greeters, you're the next people that most people see, or sometimes you're the first people that people see. So your task is important. Shaking a hand, saying good morning, welcome. Because you're the first person that will make someone feel valued, welcomed, loved, and important. So we're talking about cultivating growth. I know it feels like I'm not talking about that. But imagine if we had a church full of smug people who thought that they were better than they really are and they were too good to serve people. How many people would be in this church? How would we cultivate growth with a bunch of know-it-alls? How would we cultivate growth if people in leadership couldn't learn from someone that's not in leadership? This is to wrap this up. So I'm running out of time, but this really is my last point. Saved people serve people. That's us. Everybody in here, born again. And if you're not, then come talk to me after service. Saved people serve people. And serving people grow people. It's a continual process. It never ends. As we serve people, church, we're cultivating growth because people are growing because of it. And not just people that are growing, but you're growing. Your growth causes others to grow. You finding what you're good at and activating, forgot what that word is. That'll work. You activate that. Like you serve people, you grow people. Check this out. 1 Peter 4:10. Every believer has received grace gifts, so use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. That's good, isn't it? That's, I like that. We've all received grace. We've all received grace gifts, and we're all stewards of those gifts. Think about the people, the men with the talents. They were steward of what they've been given. A couple doubled, one sat on it. And nothing happened. He got it taken away. Come on, church. There's people that need what you have because you're a tenant something, because you're a minister, and because every task is important, even the smallest of tasks. Come on, you're a steward of all that. You are a steward of the grace of God that's on the inside of you to be all things to all men. You do know that God's grace is on the inside of you, right? You do know that God's glory is on the inside of you, right? You're a steward of that. You are to take care of that. You, at the end of the day, are responsible to walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body, talking about the church, talking about Jesus here, joined and helped and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So we're jumping all the way back to the top here. We're one body. We're all joined together. We all have a part. We're all equipped with gifts. And when each of us, when each person in this church, listen, is working properly, not just sitting on it, but working properly, that makes the body grow. So you don't just grow, but the body of Christ grows. Check out this translation. This is in the Passion. For his body, that's us, has been formed in his image, that's us, and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. So for those who don't think they have anything to offer, for those who don't who think, well, this church is so big, I'm sure they've got plenty of people already. Every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. I mean, I think it would be an awesome place to be that we're so big that we don't have enough people doing things, so we have to get more people to do things, and in doing so, we grow more, and then we just repeat this process. Cultivating growth. And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love. So everything needed to grow our church is already in this church. That's you guys. It's all of us. If we want to see more people's lives impacted through the gospel, I'm going to say it in love, but we have to get off our rear ends and do something. We have to activate the gifts that are on the inside of us. We have to stop thinking to ourselves that there's not a place for me here and realize that this church doesn't want something from you, but that we have something for you. Growth. We want to see you grow in every area of your life. And in doing so, you help other people grow. Everything that we need is in these green pews here. Everything. So it's up to you. I can sit up here and preach to you all day about activating your gift, but it's up to you to activate that gift. It's up to you to take the next step in making a difference in your lives and in somebody else's lives, to discover your purpose. It's up to you, nobody else.